We're going to start on page 10. It's a little bit of a longer mimer than we usually do, but it has some interesting ideas that I wanted to touch on. It's the year is page 10 in the left column in the middle paragraph. It's Tuf Resh Mem Dalet. Second mimer. That's it right there.
Right here?
Yes.
This is the first one?
Yeah, the first one. Yeah, I was late today.
You're not late.
Okay. The pasuk Vayishalchehu Migan Eden LaAvod Esav Adama. Hashem sent Adam from Gan Eden to work the land. It's after the Chayden, Adam and Chava were sent out of Gan Eden. Dichasiv, it says, Adam LaAmal Yulad. A person is born to do hard work. Right? I think we know that.
Is that a Talmud?
No, it's not. Well, actually, I'm not sure where that quote comes from. Do you have a mark there, Bruce, in the new edition? No.
There's
not. Adam lo no, I'm not sure.
It's just galui v'yadua. Everybody knows.
It's either Tehillim or Shir HaShirim. Koheles, it's one of those. Shlomo HaMelech, you know, or David HaMelech. I'm not sure. V'amru Chazal, and the Chachamim said, Ashrei she'amalo v'Torah. Praised is the one whose hard work is in Torah. So now we're making somewhat of a step over. What does hard work mean? What does amelus mean? What does toil mean? And the Chachamim say, well, praised is the one whose hard work and toil is in Torah.
I think he really was talking about the previous yontav we just came out of the eating
part. That was the hard
part,
work.
The eating part, you know?
Yeah. The Gan Mikadam Kasiv La'avda U'Lashamra, because before Adam was in Gan Eden, before he was asked to leave Gan Eden, he also had a concept of Avoda there too, because it says Hashem placed him there in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden, La'avda u'lashamra, to work the garden and to guard it. So when it says that we were amelus b'torah, right, so is that a transference from what happened before? Rak shehoya amala b'torah belvad. In Gan Eden, the amelus, the toil, was only Torah. There was no concept of physical labor. In Gan Eden, all of the toil was Torah. The Atah, but now, following the Chet, Hutzrach lihios b'tziruf shel avoda gashmias. Our toil in Torah is in conjunction with physical toil. V'zehu inyan ta'aruvus tov v'ra. And this is the nature of the mixture and the confusion of tov and ra, good and evil. Sha'ato achar ha'chet, eino yochel lovo l'shum ha'asaga. Bilti kadimas tikun haguf. This would have been good to learn for Simchas Torah too. But now, after the Chet, we're not able to arrive at any comprehension without first being mesakim the guf. There's always some kind of a physical, you know, exertion necessary in being mesakim the guf. Lachain amru ata Torah she'eni mamalacha sofa b'tela. That's why it says, concerning now, meaning following the Chet of Adam and Chava, in Pirkei Avos it says, that any Torah that doesn't have malacha with it, physical work, right, it'll eventually wither away. It will be batel. Our Torah has to be in conjunction with physical work.
Excuse me, Rabbi.
Yes, Michael.
Does that coincide with the fact that they say, when you study a Talmud or any book, you should articulate it?
You mean to verbalize it?
Yeah, so that you can hear it, because that's more work than actually just sitting and thinking or saying it silently.
I don't know if that's specifically related to this concept of tikkun haguf, you know, of fixing up the physical world as well. It's on page 10, honey, left paragraph here. That might be more related to absorbing what you're saying and has to be heard. But it's possible, you know, it's possible it could be taken into that realm by putting forth the extra physical effort of articulating.
But the idea of work is saying if you don't do, I mean, is he saying something about the actual having to do some physical activity connected with the mitzvah to stop in the booth?
Well, you know, he hasn't really defined it. Yeah. Maybe he'll put forth a definition. What does he mean by Malacha, what is he mean by amelus? He's given us a general statement of tikkun haguf, and that it requires a physical effort. So maybe we'll get a more of a definition on it.
So both sides stays with negative
the Gidin.
The assays are connected, each of the organs?
Right, or limbs, whatever.
And so you say that the first assays are, but the primary ones are like the Muna and the Kapha, and what's the labor involved in something like that?
More like a Vodas Halev, perhaps. So mitzvahs to medios, internal mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Maybe it has to play itself out. Vamru Chazal lishmor derech etz ha'chayim mikan shederech eretz kadma l'Torah. So it says in the Torah that Hashem set up a malach, right, with a turning sword that would guard the way to the Eitz Chaim. And an interesting thing, they said, from here you see that derech eretz, which is to say the way of the land, what usually is referred to as work, must be prior to Torah. So there is a flaming, turning sword that's in front of the Torah, which basically is how we have to go out there and earn our living. That's the sharp sword in front of the Torah that he was talking about, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. It's a fascinating drasha.
In this book, Monk it just brings this, what the Greek philosopher describes a voyage. It's in the whole section of Where is Gan Eden. It describes a voyage, and I forget the name of one of the early Greek philosophers with 40 wise men, to go to discover the secret of healing from Gan Eden. And that all of them were all killed by the sword. And they couldn't get in. And in India or somewhere around there, and because of that, the medical knowledge that had existed in those countries was lost. He says that's known in the history of ancient medicine. It was amazing connection.
But this really is something that occurred after the chay. The idea of having to work and be involved physically in order to get to Torah occurred after the chay. Before the chay, it was entirely Torah, no physical toil necessary. More like what we have on Shabbos now. Where you don't have to have any maisa, any act of physical toil, to clarify good from evil, rakulo Torah, but it is entirely Torah. That needs to be understood too, because Shabbos, as we know, it does involve a lot of physical activity, but it must be that it's in a different context.
Well, it's a toil.
It's not a melus. Right?
What does that exactly mean, to get the Torah in Gan Eden? So we have to go through the sword to get the Torah in.
Because our body changed as a result of the chay. Our physical nature changed. So our approach to Torah must involve the rectification of our guf constantly, and getting back to that initial state, which is called being in Gan Eden. Yeah.
So you're saying getting to Torah is analogous to getting to Gan Eden?
Well, if one would get to the higher levels of Torah, pure levels of Torah, yeah. Rachin Dorshu Vayanichehu Began Eden, Humanucha Shal Shabbos. Therefore, the Chachamim Darshan, that when the Torah says God placed Adam in Gan Eden, that refers to the Menucha of Shabbos, the Shabbos rest. During the days of the week, our Avodas Hashem takes the the path of working first through the physical world. Therefore, each of the 6 days of creation in the Torah, it says it was night and then it was day. That the light came as the result of first experiencing darkness. Avol b'Shabbos lo k'siv erev. But on Shabbos it does not say that phrase that it does in the other 6 days, vayhi erev vayivoker. It doesn't say that. Sheyesh b'Shabbos kodesh ha'ora me'ein shohoya kodem achet u'mikom okom yesh b'taru v'zeh madregos harba. Because on Shabbos there is a certain light that is similar to what occurred before the chet. However, he says, there are many, many different levels of this. All right, one can experience Shabbos in all kinds of ways. Sheyesh mi shadaylo b'ma'at malacha ki'inyan ruba ra miyuto tov. There's a person who it is enough in doing just a little bit of malacha, like it says, mostly bad and a little bit good. That would seem to me to be reversed, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be if he just has a little bit of malacha that he has rubo tov and miyut ra?
Well, in the next
that's what he says, yeah?
Statement would seem to be
he'll clarify it.
Well, it seems to confirm your question.
My question, let's see what he said. Amru Chazal, Chassidim Arishonim, Asu Taras and Keva, Umlachtan Arai, the earlier righteous people, they made their Torah the main thing, and their Malacha a temporary, almost incidental thing. Yeah, so their Malacha was much less. Hainu Afshahu Tzachu Gam came to Malacha, even though they also had to get involved with Malacha, they did have to have some physical involvement. The Torah says, you will gather in your crop. Everybody has to. And it says in the Gemara that there's a machlokas and brachos between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmor. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, if you learn Torah all the time, your work will be done for you. Rabbi Yishmor says, you have to work a little bit and then you can learn. And the Gemara says that many people tried to do it like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and they were not successful. That essentially that means that their studying of Torah, even though it was quantitatively the most thing, but qualitatively it was lacking, and therefore it didn't work for them.
So you think that they also be other refers to their Torah learning and not their parnassa?
it means the whole thing.
Parnassa.
Yeah. I think it means the whole thing. It just wasn't successful. Neither.
Right.
Whereas this Rabbi Yishmael, they worked a little bit and they learned, and that was successful. They had to get involved.
So the you know, I've heard the machlokas on the holes. The Rabbi Fran had a tape on the concept of kolel, and he brought the language of the Rambam sort of very strongly against people who would accept money for learning.
Right.
So the Rambam would seem to be sort of going in the tradition. Was it is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon or
Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
He would seem to be going like the Derech of Rabbi Yishmael.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the old Musa masters would just study all the time and also be maggot and just go from place to place, and because they were so involved 25 of the days of what the Torah.
You had some people, you know, who could do that, but they were individuals. Like back in the time of the Mishnah, even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his group, they were able to be kulo Torah, you know, entirely Torah. But for most people, that wasn't the case.
So to speak, a way to think about that is that lo al tabiyadim, it didn't come in their hands. It never became a derech. You know,
right.
It never became
it
a way that people could follow.
Function, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. I said that already. Ayin sham b'brachos, rosh perek, ketzad mevorach, and that's where it's brought. Mikom makom, sort lihiyos ha'ikr torah v'amalach etzfeilet. Still, the ikkar of a person's life should be Torah, and the secondary things of a person's life should be malacha. Our malacha serves our Torah. And that, of course, can apply to a person who works more than they learn, as most people do, that still their learning can be the primary part of their life. They may spend 8 hours a day working and an hour or two learning, but if it's all for the service of Torah, or I would generalize it more, Torah and Avoda, you know, then even though it's less time quantitatively, but it's still the ikkar for that person.
But aren't they still learning/living Torah?
If they're out there in the world,
and they conduct themselves
yes.
with what they learn,
yes.
they're still living.
Yes, then they can live out the Torah in the working world. I'd agree with you. That's a challenge. V'amru tarathanu melachtan sheyesh divrei Torah miyuchadin l'chol ish Yisrael v'kamochein melacha v'tikun ha'maisa miyuchad l'chol ish Yisrael. That's an interesting thing. So it just says there in the Gemara about Torah and melacha, right? So he says, just as you have divrei Torah that are specific to each Jew has his portion in Torah, mm-hmm. says you also have melacha that's specific to each Jew. Every Jew has their job. That means to say what their career is or their profession, their involvement with the physical world. Just like an individual may have a certain insight into a Rashi or the Parsha, so somebody else, you know, has an insight into real estate, insurance, healing. Okay, Josh, don't worry. And, you're finding yourself, you know, et cetera, you know, psychotherapy. It's each one has their own specific malacha that they do. And there's a chelik in it. That's the chelik of each Jew. V'tzorich ha'adam l'havinu l'hachin atzmo l'hashlim l'hotzi mikoach el ha'pol ha'orah ha'myuchedes eilav. This is a little similar to what you were saying, Michael, that each person must attempt to understand and prepare themselves to complete the bringing out of potential into actual of the light that has been assigned to them. Alpi tikkun ha'masim shelo, by rectifying and improving their own physical activities. So somebody has this job and somebody has that job, then their chelek in tikkun of the world comes through that. Sheze inyan hibit b'tora ubara ha'olam kamo shekasuv la'el shehibit kol Torah shenasis b'choleis. Oh, that's really very beautiful. He says, the chazal that says God looked into the Torah and he created the world. He says, this means that God looked at the Torah that's constantly being done, right? Not just the Torah that existed prior to the world, but the Torah that would be lived out throughout history.
Right.
From the beginning till the end, all Torah that would be lived out by people, God looked at that and he created people accordingly, giving each one their chelik in it. B'kodem ha'chet hoya avodas gan eden b'li p'tholes. Before the chet, the work in Gan Eden was without any waste or refuse. There was no such concept as a waste product. Kamosha yesoda idis viziburius. Just like there are fields that are very special and fine, there are other fields that produce a lot of waste. V'kol echad b'midrashim, v'kein isa b'midrashim, shetainas ha'tachtonim, soda shenasata lana ziburiusi. So it says in the Midrash that we're going to lodge a complaint, so to speak, on Hashem and say, you know, the field that you gave us, it produced a lot of waste. You know, now you didn't give us a field that produced just the finest crops and very little, you know, waste, but you really gave us a tough field to work with.
You mean like the world and history?
Right. You know, in our task, we had to really do a job to, you know, plow it and thresh it, and even when the crops came, it was tough. And we're going
to
say
Hashem. We have to revise the original estimate.
Or maybe, really gave us a tough plot of land. You know?
Well, maybe they're talking a little bit about doing some recycling.
V'zeh ha'hefesh shekasuv la'avod es ha'adam, ha'adama. And that's what it means that now, when Adam was sent out of Gan Eden, he had to work the land. Before he worked it too, his earlier question, la'avod l'shamra, he worked Gan Eden before. Now it says, la'avod es ha'adama, to work the land. Now our world, our work in the world must be combined with physical earth. That's nice. He says, when it says that Hashem sent Adam out of Gan Eden, Vayishalchehu, he says that's like a lashon of a shaliach, that God made us his messengers. Right? That word could be taken very strongly. You know, he threw us out.
Right.
But really, Vayishalcheyu, when you send somebody on a mission, you're making him your shaliach. So that's what God did. He said, okay, now your mission is outside Gan Eden. Go and do your job out there. It's a nice word, Vayishalcheyu. L'takin esa olamos hashvem, to fix up the world. The b'koach is kashrus, shahoyalo mikodim me Gan Eden, that connection that we had to the initial state of being in Gan Eden, b'koach ze yisaken gam kol ha'olam, because we were once there and will always be connected to that place, we have it to draw upon when we want to fix up the world. B'zehu v'yishalchehu mi Gan Eden la'avo. That's why it says, he sent us out on our mission from Gan Eden. It's still a little bit of Gan Eden in us, right? In order to be Ove, we have something, a spark from Gan Eden that carries us through when we work in the world. As it says in Chazal, every soul which is sent down to the earth, they first show to that soul Gan Eden and Torah. So that's an imprint, you know, of the soul's koach before it goes out into the world.
Now, could you just do a little progression? Like, now these ideas came in separately, but I
didn't get the... Well, I tie together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what he's saying is this, that initially when we were in Gan Eden, the avoda that we had was very pure, and there was no necessity to really interact heavily with the physical world. It was a kulo Torah type of existence, and Torah in the broad sense, whatever we did was Torah. Following the chet, we had to be physically involved with the world. And each person was given their specific task from Hashem, what their area of physical involvement will be, and that will be their contribution, and it's actually their way to Torah. And what one does in the world, that's their path in Torah. And at the same time, Hashem connected us, even though he tossed us out of Gan Eden, but he left us with a connection to that original state of being, the idea that Hashem shows the neshama Gan Eden before he sends it here. And that gives us, I guess, the inspiration and the foundation that we need when we're on our mission, you know, being Mesake in the physical world.
Would that be Shabbos in today's world? That little spark of Gan Eden, because it's pretty expressive.
He does make that connection, you know, that putting him in Gan Eden was the manufa of Shabbos.
It seems like he threw us out of Gan Eden. This threw us out of Gan Eden to work for him as part of the tikkun of you know, of the chet. You know, it's not just throwing it. You know, as a this is a question of what you're saying. It's as the term to be a shaliach, but a shaliach for what can only be for Hashem, right? For Torah,
right? As Hashem shaliach, right?
To the world,
right? And that we're, you know, this is a certain area, a task that, you know, Ruth Orman was given, and you're Hashem Shuliach to fix
help.
Up that area. You know, that's what he's saying.
So that brings in that the work we do is linked to Torah and Kedusha.
Mm-hmm.
It's not separate.
Mm-hmm.
And to include then mm-hmm. Torah in our work.
That's right.
As well as
No. And that's really a very fundamental Hasidisha concept. You know, that there is a continuity between those things.
But it's also saying then that it's okay, it seems, I'm just taking this myself,
yeah.
to be involved in the world.
Not only okay, but that's a person's
right.
contribution to make to be misakein their goof through being Oved Es HaAdama. Not only is okay, but it's vital.
Then
it has to happen.
Then how come that there's another side of Yiddishkeit in different groups that you should really just devote yourself to learning and not worry about Parnassa, not be involved in the world because the world
is
too tempting and it's not, you know, the place to be involved in?
Or even if you do work, you sort of concede you have to work, that your work is really, there's not anything really meaningful intrinsically about the work itself. I think that comes from being very protective of what influences work and environment can have on a person. And, you know, having to really downplay that in order to achieve that protection. You know, that is a derech.
Right, derech. No question.
I think that its downside is that it produces a lot of insecure people who feel that working is only for second-class citizens. And, you know, ultimately, that's not what they should be doing. But if you have the concept that you're working in the world and that is your, you know, tikkun, that really infuses a lot of meaning to work.
Yeah.